Well, the MSU football team hasn't given its fans much reason to smile this year. However, on Saturday, there were a lot of pearly green and whites grinning from ear to ear. The Spartans shut out lowly Rutgers 49-0, marking the fourth time in the Mark D'Antonio era that his defense has allowed no points. On the flip side, the top tier of the college football world experienced a shakeup. Three of the top four teams were upset, including Michigan. Current sports host Al Martin joins me to recap. Hi, Al.
Mark, how are you doing?
I'm just great. Let's start with MSU football. How do you explain all the offense we saw on Saturday? Where they been keeping that?
Well, I tell you what. First off, they're playing Rutgers. So let's temper the emotion just a bit here. I mean, this is a team that approached this game with the same exact record of 2-7, the same record that Michigan State had entering this matchup against the Spartans, and you know, two teams that are winless in the Big Ten. So let's pump the brakes just a bit here. But I will say, and I've said this all year about the Michigan State offense, when it comes to Tyler O'Connor and his comfortability in the pocket, he needs to have a solid run game in order to put the pressure off of him just a bit and to just ease into the offense. I mean, when you look at it, you look at LJ Scott. He ran 20 times, 122 yards, Mark, and a touchdown. Gerald Holmes and Madre London each had 9 carries, 52 yards. Michigan State total had 277 yards on the ground. Mm. That's the most they've had on the ground the entire year. So really, when you look at it, Tyler O'Connor just really needs just to settle in and not make mistakes when he is allowed to throw, when that play call does come through. He only threw 15 times, but they were efficient. 15 times, 3 touchdowns. I mean, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. So I always say when Michigan State has a balanced running attack mixed in with Tyler O'Connor, it usually ends up in success.
How surprising was it that we shut Rutgers out, considering the injuries and all?
If anything, that was the surprising factor for me, Mark. I mean, the first defensive shutout since 2013 when they beat Purdue 14-0 held Rutgers to just 149 yards total offense. They forced 5 3-and-outs, 2 interceptions, one that was taken to the house with senior captain Demetrius Cox, and also made Rutgers punt 9 times throughout that game. And then you have, you know, the added storyline before this game and Malik McDowell being injured and not playing. You know, a lot of people look at Malik McDowell as a possible first-round pick in this year's upcoming NFL draft. You have true freshies and Josh King and Mike Panasiuk receiving first career starts on that defensive line. They played fantastic. And I think this does a lot confidence-wise for that defense, considering the fact they've given up many big plays throughout this year, Mark.
Ohio State and Penn State, the two remaining games left to play, our odds can't seem to be too good against Ohio State. What are the chances we can find a win there?
Yeah, it's going to be tough. You know, Ohio State and Penn State have had great years thus far. Ohio State, get this, Mark, they won the past two games over both Maryland in Nebraska by a combined score of 124 to just 6. 6. They've only allowed 6 points in the last 2 weeks, Mark. Mm. So it seems as though they've come off that loss to another team that Michigan State is playing at the very end of the year in Penn State. Penn State upset Ohio State, if you remember back in October. They've come off that loss just really with the mindset, okay, we got to win out here if we want to be in that number to possibly make a college football playoff appearance. Penn State has only lost to Pitt, who upset Clemson over the weekend, and also Stout Michigan. Those are the only two losses that the Nittany Lions have. So it's a tall order to expect Sparty to close out these final 2 weeks with a win, but I do expect them to be competitive in both of these games.
Current sports, Al Martin is our guest. We're recapping MSU football, Big Ten football, and some basketball to talk about here in just a minute. Let's talk about the Michigan road defeat. They went down at Iowa City with time winding down. What's the impact of that on their postseason playoff chances?
They still, believe it or not, they still have their goals in front of them, Mark. I mean, it's still one loss on the year. Michigan, if you look at the Associated Press college football poll that was released yesterday, Michigan is still in the top four. They actually rank at number 4 when you look at that poll. Now, again, tomorrow night we'll see another college football playoff committee poll released, and a lot of people do expect Michigan to still be in that number. Michigan can still win the Big Ten East. They play Indiana on Saturday and then go to Ohio State for that big matchup to close out the year. Wilton Spate, though, when you look at that loss against Iowa on the road, Mark, Wilton Spate was the key for me. Quarterback for U of M. 11 of 26 for 103 yards, an interception. He was sacked twice, completed just 42.3% of his passes. That is his lowest percentage, his lowest completion percentage this entire year. He knows he has to play better, and that offensive line has to protect him better if they want to close out the division.
Did Iowa do anything else that enabled them to do what no other team has been able to do yet?
Certainly. I have to say this, too. I've been one of those who have said that Michigan has still, approaching that Iowa game, Michigan had still not been tested truly on the road. In my opinion, I've been saying this all season. They played a lollipop schedule, all right? And finally, they go on the road to play a team like Iowa, who's going to hit you in the mouth. I mean, Iowa is a team that, of course, played Michigan State in the Big Ten Championship last year. They have a lot of guys who can fly around defensively. They swarmed the quarterback, got a lot of hits on Wilton Spate. And you factor that in, that you're playing them on the road. Eventually, you know, they were able to win out in the final seconds of that game. And I wasn't surprised.
And we saw three of the top four teams fall over the weekend. Historically, how uncommon is that?
I got a stat for you. Get this, Mark. So, again, Michigan lost to Iowa, as we just stated. Clemson lost at home to Pitt. Pat Narduzzi, former defensive coordinator, head coach at Pitt. Another big win for him this year. My goodness, right? Washington lost at home to USC. First time the AP 2 through 4 lost on the same day since 1985. Now get this. During that week in 1985, guess who was the head quarterback at U of M who was a part of one of those losses?
Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh was the head coach at Michigan in 1985 when number 2 Michigan fell to number 1 Iowa. Sound familiar? And they lost on a last-second field goal.
Oh, my gosh.
Talk about deja vu, right?
How about that? Several MSU basketball games to look back on just this weekend. What do you take from the men's loss to Arizona?
Yeah, well, that was, first off, one heck of a game. Heck of a game that came down to the wire, and it just shows you how it's all about the little things. In every sport, let alone college basketball, on that final play, Michigan State lets Kadeem Allen go the full length of the court. Josh Langford's guarding him. Allen goes right by him. Miles Bridges tries to contest the shot. He's late on it. Kenny Goins is above the key. He should have been in the paint to contest the shot as well. It ended up being a game-winning layup that beats Michigan State men's basketball. But when you look at it, I mean, my goodness, Miles Bridges is a name that is going to be household this entire season. Bar injury, this kid, I think, can be a one-and-done player. Again, we've still got a lot of college basketball left to play. But what he did against Arizona in Hawaii in the Armed Forces Classic was just a little taste of what this kid can do the entire year. So I'm looking forward to seeing what this team can do. Again, Izzo is known for being top-heavy with his schedule. So tomorrow they actually play Kentucky. And, I mean, Kentucky is the number 2 team in the nation. I mean, it's realistic to kind of think here and kind of throw it around that Michigan State men's basketball can start the year 0-2. But at the same time, look at the teams they played, you know? Yeah. Izzo's known for that. He likes to see where the holes in the boat are very early so he can figure out how to plug them as the year goes on.
And the women are 2-0. Can we expect a lot more of this, or are there bigger challenges ahead for the Spartan women?
Well, certainly bigger challenges ahead, Mark. I mean, because we're talking about the very start of the year for them. They've yet to start even Big Ten play, but they beat Davidson on Friday, Wyoming yesterday. They play Southern University tomorrow, so a quick turnaround. But there's a lot of things, a lot of pieces on this team that are encouraging, including Taya Reimer, I mean, who's been really lighting it up. And I'm really interested to see that championship mentality that she brings from Notre Dame.
We got about 30 seconds, Al. Some big news was also released about the Western Michigan Bronco football team over the weekend. Briefly, can you tell us how the Broncos will be in the national spotlight this week?
Yes, WMU beat Kent State 37-21 to make it 10-0 for the year. College Game Day, ESPN's College Game Day, coming to Kalamazoo for the first time ever. The number 21 Broncos, along with Alabama, are the only unbeatens in the college football world. Unbelievable.
How exciting.
Row the boat.
That's great. Al Martin Moore from Al on Current Sports today at 1 p.m. every weekday at 1 on AM 870. Thank you, Al. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you.
Good fun.